This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and real happy to be bringing you the show from the Lineup Media Group Studios here in lovely Edwardsville, Illinois. Really excited about today's guest, as I was introduced to him by our good friend Justin Stone. And if you've listened to the show at all since its inception, I think everybody knows what a big fan of Justin's I am and how much I think of his work and what he does for the game of baseball and the way he teaches it. So I can only tell you that when Justin and I were at the convention in Nashville together, he introduced me to today's guest. And the way he introduced him is, this is a guy you got to have on your show because he is a phenomenal baseball guy, a really good guy, good man, and an awesome hitting instructor. So for me, when a guy like Justin, you know, endorses a guy like that, it tells me, well, heck yeah, I got to have him on. So was able to make connections with today's guest through Justin, and I'm going to really be excited about the interview. Before we do that, though, let's tell you a little bit about ourselves. Of course, we are Youth Baseball Talk. You can check us out at youthbaseballtalk.com. That's the best way to check out past episodes. Check into some of our partners and see what they're doing, such as Justin or Rick Strickland and even our good friend Domingo Ayala, of course. And, you know, we do a lot on Twitter. At Podcast Baseball is the way we communicate through Twitter. It's a great way to kind of see what's going on within the world of baseball, what people are talking about. It's a great way to stay informed and always see what's new and exciting, of course. Facebook's great, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk. You know, you're not as limited on Facebook like you are on Twitter with characters and stuff, so you see a lot of great videos. People share great stories. I mean, we got enough problems, right? Let's see the good stuff that's going on. It doesn't get enough pub, so that's why I love Facebook, of course, when it comes to communicating with both listeners, coaches, teachers, everybody that's involved within the game. And, of course, I love your emails. info@youthbaseballtalk.com is the best way to reach me. I get more and more emails each week, whether it be about the topic or just things in general that people either want to get off their chest or ideas. I love them. I love the ideas for shows. I mean, I'm not the only one that this game affects, right? So I love that kind of stuff. So keep them coming, of course. Best way to stay in tune with what we're doing is just to subscribe. It's really that simple. It's free. All you got to do is go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet. Click the subscribe button. That gives you the opportunity to leave us a rating. Of course, a nice review and 5 stars would be very much appreciated if you think we're worthy. As I mentioned, we're coming to you from the Lineup Media Group Studios. It's great to be a part of the Lineup Media Group. Go to lineupmedia.fm. I guarantee you'll find some new show or an older show that has something going on within it that piques your interest, and it just might be something that you're really into, you know, whether it be MMA, hockey, just generic baseball talk like the Bleacher Bums. My good friend Pete Caliendo, you know, he's traveled all over the world with youth organizations, so make sure you check us out there. Just keep sharing the show however it is you're doing it, because whatever you're doing, it's working. And, of course, my shameless Amazon plug, YouthBaseballTalk.com. Find that Amazon banner down on the right. Do your internet shopping right there. Just click on it. You're done with me. I get the referral. It costs you no more. Can't thank you enough. You guys have been doing that, and it means a lot to me. So let's get to today's guest. Like I said, very, very excited about having him on, because I think, you know, sometimes when people that are really good at what they do speak highly of other people, it just tells you, you know, who you're kind of dealing with, what class of person that you're involved with. And like I said, if you don't have to listen to the show very much to know what I think of Justin, and for him to introduce me to this gentleman and say he's a must get for you, meant a lot to me. So I'd like to welcome him to the show right now. Evidently, and I don't know from personal experience, but boy, all you got to do is research the guy, and you're going to find out real quick. One of the best hitting guys in the country, Kevin Wilson from Kevin Wilson Baseball. Kevin, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
I hope that was a worthy intro, because I think sometimes we get guys on here and we kind of try to talk to them, but the reality of it is, you know, I've had some great guys on here, and you and I kind of talked off air about some of them, but you know, you're one of the most sought after hitting guys in the country, whether it be everything from youth all the way up through the major leagues, and it's a great testament to you and your approach. You know, do you attribute this to any one thing, or is this just just keep trucking and good things happen?
Well, I think like anything or any successful person, you can't do it by yourself. And there's so many people to thank, for this journey happening the way it has happened. And there's still a lot of things that I want to do. And obviously, I think our listeners can relate to the fact that if you're successful, too, you're always learning. You're a lifelong learner. So I know Justin Stone is the same, and he and I connect on a lot of things. And can't thank Justin enough for introducing us. And but we're all lifelong learners. And I think through the journey, as Cervantes says, the journey is better than the end. And so when I started out doing this years ago, I had a goal in mind. And the goal was to be able to help people and help at the major league level. But along that journey, there's just so many other things that happened and the people I met and the people that really poured into me that I can't thank enough. So it takes a village, as they say, and I'm just another person in that village, and I have a lot of people to thank.
Well, let's find out a little bit about Kevin Wilson. I this is an envious term, so take it for what it is. And I describe you as a baseball lifer. And while I'll sit here and say that you've never had a job because you've been involved in baseball, I'm sure there's days where you would argue with me and say this is a lot of work. But it's yeah. I'm sure it's a labor of love, so to speak. So tell us a little bit about yourself, your beginnings in baseball, and kind of how it led you where you are now.
Sure, absolutely. I think for me, the interesting part for me at the beginning, and not too many people know this, but I was a hockey player growing up. And growing up outside of Philadelphia and in the Northeast, hockey, ice hockey, and you guys out in Chicago know this, it's a winter sport and it's pretty big. So I grew up playing hockey, and until I was 13, broke my leg in 10 places and decided to stop playing hockey. And that's when really I started playing baseball. And I always was behind the eight ball, so to speak, as a baseball player. I was a pretty good athlete. I think a lot of guys that have made it to college or beyond, you're usually a pretty good athlete or else you're not there. But for me, the thing that was lacking for me was the mental side. So, I got an opportunity to play at college at the University of Cincinnati. So I got to learn a lot about the Midwest. And after Cincinnati, I signed with the Chicago White Sox and began my pro journey. So I did that for 6 years. And then at the end of it, I retired 10 years ago, actually, in 2006. At the end, I said, I want to coach. I want to impact the lives of others. And I've already been doing that I had a baseball academy, and I did that in the off season, like a lot of guys do when they're playing. They give lessons and whatnot. And those lessons were invaluable to me to be able to teach an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old, because it really taught me how to relate material to people. So when I was done playing, I said, you know what? I want to impact people. I want to be able to help them, not only on the baseball side, hitting side. I want to be able to help them when it comes to life and teach the person first and the player second. Because during my journey as a player, I was very mechanical based, hitting wise. I didn't have too much perspective, and I don't think a lot of guys have too much perspective when they're going through it, right? Because you're always in the moment and you got to stay present. I understand. But at the same time, there was, like I said before, the mental side was lacking for me, and it had me on a roller coaster. Some months I was great, some months I was bad. And so I was going through that. At the end of it, I said, you know what? I'm not going to let somebody else make the same mistake that I did. So when I started doing it more and more, as far as a consultant, I said, you know what? I'm going to make sure that they're better, a better person at the end of this than a player. If I can teach and help the mind, and I can teach the person and help the person, then a player will automatically show up on the field. So I guess through my kind of my journey through my playing career, it really, as I sat back and looked at it, it really taught me a lot about, okay, what did I need to do better? And for me, it really came down to the mental part. So that's why I'm doing what I'm doing today, a lot of, because you know what? I wasn't the only one I found. There are a lot of guys struggling with that point. So I never played in the big leagues, but I think it was a sign that the reason why I didn't play in the big leagues, I understand now. So I want to help guys be able to get further than I did. I want them to take that same talent or even better talent, because a lot of guys I work with have much better talent than I did, but allow them to attain their goals that they want in life and on the field.
You know, I've had, many guests on here and been very fortunate to have some of the most well-known, I guess, guys on here talk hitting. And, I think sometimes the conversation is, well, you got all, you know, we have all these guys teaching all these things, and a lot of, and everybody thinks everything's so different. You know, and I would say that, you know, there's philosophies, there's hitting styles, all that kind of stuff. I like a lot of the guys that are like not married to any one thing, and they're kind of like, well, I'm going to help the person versus try to make them a robot. And the thing that I associate with you, you know, obviously learning about you and understanding how you do things, but you know, you're, I guess, for lack of a better description, in one short sentence, your theory, your statement kind of, or, you know, your mantra is hitting is simple. It's just not that easy. You know, that sounds, the sentence is so easy to take, but at the same time, we know how hard it is to hit. Why don't you explain that theory a little bit?
Sure, sure. It's, you know, hitting is simple. It's just not that easy. I think it kind of wraps it up in one little package, because for me, it's a simplicity, right? There's so many complicated ways. And in fact, some other people might want to try and embrace the complexity. But for me, you know, you talk to any big leaguer out there, in any sport, but especially when it comes to hitting, you ask a big league hitter what he's trying to do. His response, for the most part, is going to be pretty simple. And for me, it's a big part of simplifying the approach, simplifying the swing, whatever you're working on. Is know thyself, understand thyself, know what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are. And, you know, everybody talks about you want to work on your weakness, and I think that's good. You should work on your weaknesses. But at the same time, I think a lot more guys can get better by understanding what their strengths are and really try to master what they do well. You know, so if you master what you do well, you're going to have a better opportunity to be able to make an impact on that game in a more consistent way. So for me, that's the big thing. If you can simplify what you're doing because you understand yourself better, you're going to have more success. So for me, it's a great opportunity to be able to say, okay, when I teach somebody, my philosophy is whatever works for you. So for me, I have a lot of questions for you because I don't know the way you think yet. I don't know what's important to you. So a lot of my opportunities to get in front of guys are to be able to say, listen, I don't know anything about you, or I know very little about you. You need to teach me how you like to do it. And then I'll adjust my philosophy to fit your needs and the way you want to do it. I work with 20 guys. I have 20 clients in Major League and Minor League Baseball. That's my main clientele. I speak 20 different languages. And it has to be that way because I have guys that are from different parts of the country and the world, for that matter, speak different languages. I have to speak their language, not just in like English or Spanish, so to speak. I have to speak their language that makes sense to them. It doesn't necessarily have to make sense to me. I was a switch hitter with two different swings and two different approaches. It has to make sense to them. So that's kind of where the hitting is simple, it's just not that easy comes from, is just that holistic view of, hey, listen, I needed to get to know how you work in order to help you better to go through your career.
Now, the majority of the people that are listening to the show, obviously, are youth coaches, the players themselves, young kids, instructors trying to get better. You know, I know you've listened to the show before, and I know you've heard us say on here 1,000 times over that the big thing that we ask all coaches is to be coached, to get better, to try to enhance themselves so that they can then in turn go out and be the best coach they can be, mentor to these kids, the whole type of thing. Now, you work with you work with major league hitters, minor league hitters. I know you do youth camps. You talk to young hitters. What's the, like, you just basically summed it up that you got to treat everybody a little bit differently, obviously. What's the biggest difference that you would use as a hitting instructor for a young person versus that mature hitter?
Yeah, I think for a young person, it's really quite the same. And I'll explain. For me, it's really, you know, try to give them confidence and try to tell them that they are unique in their own right. So you say, take a 12-year-old, okay, and he's swinging a certain way. Now let's take a 12-year-old that's hitting the ball really well, but maybe mechanically it doesn't look right. Well, this game is based on failure, as we all know. I want to instill and I want to keep that confidence. So if it doesn't look necessarily a certain way, or maybe doesn't look right, or maybe down the road you see some problems when he gets to be in high school, that velocity could be a problem, whatever. Okay, that's fine. But at that time, at say a 12-year-old, if he's doing well, you know, do not touch him, in my opinion. Don't touch him. If he's doing well at that level, as a 12-year-old, say, let him go. Let him enjoy the successes. Let him enjoy this game. Now, as you want, if you want to coach him and teach him and say, hey, why do you do this? Why do you do that? He may not know all the answers. Why? Because he's 12. I have 22-year-old pro guys that don't know answers about themselves. So, but at the same time, I think it's like timing is everything in hitting for me. And I think timing is everything in communication as well. So you might, and we've all the coaches that are listening to this, you've had this at one point at least, or if not a lot of times, and I get this a lot of times myself too, where you just have to grab yourself. You want to say something and you know it's going to help them, but at the same time, you want to say something. You're like, maybe not right now. The guy's doing really well. And I'll give you an example. I learned this from Charlie Manuel, who's a mentor of mine for a long time. And I remember when Jim Thome was in Cleveland and he was the hitting coach, they had Manny Ramirez, Kenny Lofton. They had Travis Fryman, Jim Thome. They had a lot of good hitters, right?
Right.
Albert Bell. So Charlie used to say, you know, he goes, yeah, if I saw Jimmy being a little bit off with his mechanics, but he was still hot, he goes, I would not say a word. He goes, why do you want to stop a guy hitting well just because you see something? He's hitting well. But when he goes bad, he goes, you know what? You just want to be able to store that in your memory, okay, what he's doing. And then when he starts getting cool, then you introduce that information. Be, hey, listen, I see this, I see that. And then boom, they're right back on. So again, I think timing and communication is everything, especially, and no matter what age, really. I mean, to teach a 12-year-old, in my opinion, is no different than teaching a 32-year-old big leaguer, honestly, because it's the same game. I mean, you're trying to hit a round ball with a round bat and be consistent, whereas the numbers are going to say you're inconsistent. So for me, that's the simplified too. It's just if a guy's going good, let him go. If it doesn't necessarily look great, just let him go. If he's doing good, enjoy his successes now, because down the road, he's going to have some failure more than he's ever failed before. Now, on the flip side, if a guy is struggling a little bit and you see something, try to teach a young person, try to give him one thing at a time. I understand that you see this, 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 and this. So say we take five things. You see five things wrong. Try not to go at the 12-year-old with five things. It's the process of just go to one thing. What's one thing to work on? Focus on one thing. If he masters that, then you move on to number two. He masters that on to number three, and so on and so forth. So for me, it's again simplifying things, because these kids have so much in their mind anyway. I think, especially when they're young, keep it simple.
You know, it's funny, I hear you say the word failure, and one of the most common things that we hear great instructors like yourself, great coaches talk about, especially when we talk about, you know, we're talking about some of the best players, best athletes in the world, and the word failure comes up all the time. Failure in the game of youth baseball is such a hard thing, I think, for the kids to understand. It's even harder for the parents and the coaches. How do we get past this? Because it's my belief, and it's something that I've seen enough of that, and guilty as charged. I always say that. I mean, I find myself being normal and not understanding failure sometimes, like, God, come on. And it's not even the whole actual failure part of it. It's the failing to just do certain things. And I'm talking about even deeper than just getting a hit. Failure to just take a good at bat, or failure just to give a little more effort, or all that way down the line. I mean, failure is such a huge part of this. How do you know? I believe that if we could handle it better, not just the players, but the parents and the coaches, that we would have a better overall game. How do we do that?
You know, that's a great point, Jim. And I think for me, to how to handle that, it starts at the top. And when I mean starts at the top, it starts with the parents and the coaches. And I'll explain. I do see a certain amount of amateur games in my travels too across the country. And like you said, when I work with colleges and high schools and baseball academies, I do see, my son is 7 and I see his games as well. But for me, it's starts at the top. So I'll give you an example. So if Jimmy gets up to the plate and he strikes out, there is going to be some sort of reaction. And I'm not even talking about reaction from Jimmy. I'm talking about there's going to be a reaction from the coach, whatever that reaction is. It's going to be a reaction from a parent, wherever that parent is sitting. And a lot of the times is, and we, again, this goes back to we have to understand the person first. It's just like if there's a fire in the house for the parents out there, fire in the house, God forbid, the kids are going to look to you. And if you're freaking out, what are the kids going to do? They're going to freak out. But if they look to you and you're nice and calm, even though internally you're freaking out because there's a fire in your house, if the kids look to you and you're calm, cool, and collected, you're the leader, you're that leader, then what are the kids going to do? They may freak out a little bit, but they need to see you at a certain level. They need to see you calm. And so I feel like when Jimmy strikes out, things happen. People freak out. Coach says something, shakes his head, looks down. Parents just, they're beside themselves sometimes. I think we've all seen it, like the overzealous parent, overzealous coach. And I think how we change this, and it's not easy, but it changes at the top. If the reactions from the people in charge and the parents are better, therefore, the child is not going to fear failure. They understand it's part of the game. Like when we all grew up, we all failed. It wasn't like anything like I didn't fear it at all. I failed plenty of times, but you know what? My parents did not react in any such way. They sat down the lines. They just sat there and it was the same. If I got a home run or I struck out, they were the same people. So for me, I grew up knowing that not one thing is better or worse than the other. Everything is just even keel. And it spills into my personality too, because guys come at me. I always say that I hang out with 20 miserable people from April 3rd until October 4th, because none of my clients come to me saying, oh, listen, I made the All-Star team, or I just signed a 5-year deal, or no, I'm terrible. This stinks. I feel terrible, you know, whatever the case may be. So I hang out with miserable people, but they need me to be at a certain level. I cannot ride the emotional roller coaster with them, or else they wouldn't hire me. They expect to come at me with stuff, but they also expect for me to be that same person. So again, long-winded answer to your question. I think kids fear that failure because of the reaction of the adults and the authority that's around them. And if there was a change in that reaction, again, keep it positive. Tell them it's okay. Tell whatever you want to tell them, other than always show that everything's going to be okay. You're going to slowly see the changes in that player. Because I've seen it. I've done that. You're going to see that with those players.
It is amazing because, you know, I, like I said, I've had so many great guests on here that I think the world of and that are very well respected within this game of baseball. And it's amazing. One of them, and I can't even remember who it was, but it was just a great statement. He's like, you know, the first thing you hear out of the crowd, the first thing you hear out of a dad's mouth, somebody in the stands, a coach's mouth when a kid is struggling to throw strikes is just throw strikes. The first thing you hear when a kid strikes out is keep your eye on the ball, make contact, do this, do that, do that. And it's like, you know, for the guys that are so good at keeping it in perspective, you know, their simple answer to this is, do you think he's not trying to throw strikes? Well, it's funny because I use that one now. That's one of my favorites. The hitting, for some reason, I'm bad about. I still catch myself. And again, I always say this. I'm not perfect. I got frustrated at my team and my own son last night. But here's the difference. For me, and I'm not, this doesn't make it right, it's just, it's a different type of frustration. For me, it was approach. You know, I just really felt like at our game last night, I mean, and this is the type of stuff I like to talk about, I didn't feel like our guys went up there and really gave it everything they had and competed and went, got in the box and was ready. It was more of a real defensive-minded approach. I can handle kids striking out. I can handle kids struggling on the mound. I can handle this if their approach is good. You know, the way they go about it, the way they do this. And, you know, that's obviously a discussion for another day. But I think sometimes the general consensus here is that whether it's the parent or the coach yelling just throw strikes or getting frustrated and hollering something out when your kid or somebody else strikes out or makes an error, I think, you know, again, I say this all the time, I think we think we're helping, but we're really not. So it is amazing to hear you say that and almost in the same breath with major league players. So it's not, this isn't, you know, owned by the 10-year-old group. This is from 10 years old all the way up to 30 years old, getting paid in cotton candy and ice cream after the game and getting paid millions of dollars. So it's a great thing. But I'm with you 100%. I know, and you deal with some of this stuff, you know, and you're involved in so many different types of things, but you have a great book. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, thanks, Jim. Yeah, it's called The Good Batting Book, and you can find it on our website at kwbaseball.com or head over to Amazon. It's on Amazon, but it's a book that, you know, I've heard one person describe it as he wish he knew the information in that book before he ever even got to high school. And for me, it was, and it's nothing like, you know, earth shattering new stuff. I'm not reinventing the wheel by any means, but it kind of goes back to what we have been talking about today in terms of the approach, the purpose, the plan, a lot of things that you're trying to do as a player, deliberate practice, understanding why you're doing stuff, almost like be detailed on everything that you do. It doesn't mean you make it more complicated. You're just more aware of stuff. So it's a small book. It's 10 chapters, around 50 pages, and it's something to guys that can reference it, carry it around with them. It's 10 chapters that you can just pick it up, put it down whenever, review it whenever. Talks about the what is your view from the batter's box. Another chapter talks about focus. Another chapter talks about two strike hitting, what that really means. Another thing is, how do you hit the breaking ball? Just little things that, again, that are relevant, but it's more so of a mindset. And it's a book that is geared towards growing your confidence because you know yourself better, just like we talked about earlier in the show. So, I appreciate you bringing that up, but I've been sitting on that book for about 3 years, and I've been prodded and pushed by a couple friends of mine that, because that's not my nature to kind of just throw stuff out there. But they said, yeah, throw it out there. And the response has been overwhelming and very, very flattering. And again, that's my why every day when I wake up is, how can I help somebody? And that book for me, and I don't make any money on the book, it's not for that. It's just another avenue and an arm for me to say, okay, when I wake up every day, if someone picks up that book and they read it and they pick out one thing that helps them, then, well, I've accomplished my why for that day.
That's amazing to hear you say that, because like I said, I think I referenced earlier that, you know, I've had so many great instructors on this show, and when people, you know, I know so many people too within the game, and I've met so many people. People are always asking me questions, and you know, one of the things is, well, who do you go to? Like, you know, there are so many guys out there helping and doing, and I'm sure they're all good and blah blah blah. And I'm like, I got to be real honest with you. I mean, I think find somebody that you like. Find somebody. Obviously, I mean, like, for instance, you know, you're in Pennsylvania. Well, I can't just drive over and have you work with my son. So, hey, you got to find somebody convenient, right? Do sure. Your homework on them, learn a little bit. And if you're lucky enough that especially your son or your daughter, if it's softball or whatever, if they have a good connection with the guy or lady, if that's the case, if they got a good connection with them and they seem to enjoy it and they seem to be getting something out of it, I think you found somebody. Because I think at the end of the day, everybody's just trying to help somebody, and getting comfortable, working hard, having an approach, doing all these things. These are all the things that we're really trying to teach kids, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know that there's one. Is there really? I've never met one guy like yourself, and I'm sure you're about to give me the same answer. Is there one way to do this?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I think it kind of goes back. You were talking about you got mad at your son's team or whatever on the approach. For me, it's and plenty of people say this, but you can control attitude and effort. And I get the same way. Like, I'm very calm and cool and collected, but my guys know that if I raise my voice or if I get in their face, and again, I'm kind of a low talker when it comes to instructing, but if I raise my voice a little bit or I give them that stare, they know they've done something wrong. And a lot of the times it's attitude and effort. That's all. I know how tough this game is, like you said before, this is a very hard thing. The hardest thing to do in sport is to hit a baseball. And I hate to tell you guys, young kids listening, it just gets harder and harder and harder as you get up. So the guy in the big leagues he's not invincible. I used to think that as a kid. Oh, grow up in the Philly. Mike Schmidt, he's invincible. Yeah. He has no worries. You know, Larry Boa, little sawed off guy. Oh, he's a good player. He's just gifted. No, it's all the mental side of this stuff. So to your point of finding somebody that you mesh with, that you can trust, because there's a lot of information to your point out there. And in my opinion, there's a lot of good information. And there's also a lot of information. I sit there and I scratch my head. But the problem is, a lot of players and parents that go into it, it's tough for them to really differentiate what's right and what's wrong. Right. And I think ultimately, whatever works for you is always the right information for you. That's how I look at it. So that's why I speak different languages to different people, because there isn't one way to do things, like you're saying. And because of that too, it's relationship-based teaching that's of the utmost importance for me. And that's how you can relate to that person. You can relate material. I've talked about history. I've talked about George Washington when talking. I've talked about WWE wrestling. I've talked about, you name it. It's all about relating that information. And the guy in my job, all my clients and the guys I work with, they have two hitting coaches at least that they work with. And so I'm third guy at least. But they hire me because they can trust me. They trust the information coming from me. Only my information is not the best in the world in terms of, I haven't created this new system of doing it. No, it's been around the game forever. But what they do is they trust that I am in it for them and not myself. I'm done playing. So they trust that there is no ulterior motive here other than, I want you to be the best person you can be and the best player.
Yeah, it's interesting for you to talk about the multiple coaches. It's I say this, I'm not going to call this an epidemic, but I've seen it enough just in my little corner of the world here to know that if it's going on here, it's going on everywhere, right? And it really bothers me, and it's just a part. It's just, you know, sometimes you have pet peeves, things bother you, whatever. But the, you know, more and more guys are out there, you know, realizing that there's, and it's okay. There's nothing wrong with this. That there's money to be made helping kids become better hitters, pitchers, whatever the case may be. Hey, I always say this, they wouldn't be there if people didn't want to do it, right? So I don't have an issue with it. But what I do have issue with is I hear more and more kids complaining that their high school coach is changing them from the way their hitting coach or their pitching coach is doing it, and this and that and this and that. And what I love, though, is routinely, and I'm, again, I'm blessed to be around some great guys, I hear some of these parents, especially because parents, we always want to defend our kids instead of letting them handle it themselves, which I disagree with, but that's my own point of view. But I love it when the instructors say, look, that's his high school coach. He better be able to take some instruction from them. And if I ever hear that you're going to tell your high school coach, my pitching coach or my batting coach said not to listen to you, I will be furious. Because they better learn how to take instruction from multiple people and learn how to, when you're on somebody's team, you better do it their way. So I am having trouble a little bit with the generation that's wanting to make excuses and blame it on other things. That's bothering me a little bit. Do you see that a little bit?
Oh, I see it a lot. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. But I think, again, it goes back to that human element, that teaching the person and giving them life skills and teaching them life through the game of baseball. And a lot of that too is own up, take control of your opportunities and be able to, you know, if you've got to shake a guy and talk to him and shake his hand, look him in the eye, stuff like that. Take ownership of your career and of your successes and failures, not just your successes. You know, I see these high school kids, and I was blessed a couple years ago to be the hitting coach for the USA baseball 18U national team, and you know, we won gold. I have a gold medal because of 20 great kids, nothing that I did. But you also had to teach those kids in 2 weeks how to play baseball and how to be comfortable being uncomfortable, as our head coach Rob Cooper told those guys. You have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, and that takes a lot. You have some of the best kids in the world, and some of those kids are millionaires right now playing in minor league baseball and future big leaguers. But those kids, they had to kind of get outside their comfort zone, and they had to man up, so to speak. But I think that's great. Again, that's the international game of baseball, where you're playing for something. For the first time in your life, you're playing for something bigger than yourself, the United States of America. You got USA across your chest. This is not Perfect Game and any of these travel programs, and not to take anything away from them, but this is, you're playing against Cuba. You're playing against Japan. You're playing for your country. And so it was fun to watch those kids in 2 weeks grow up before your eyes, right? So I think to your point too, it's, you hold yourselves accountable. If you want to call a coach, even if you're 13, you know, if you have a phone and you can't call a coach, don't text them. Call them. It's going to be hard. I talk a lot now, and I'm very comfortable being in front of thousands of people and talking at a convention now. But I promise you, when I was in high school and even college, I wouldn't be able even to do this interview with you. But my parents forced me to do things. I don't want to say the old fashioned way, right? Because I don't want to be labeled the old guy. But to your point, this, it is an epidemic. It is saying, like, okay, well, you know, you push blame on others. No, you hold yourself accountable. You make decisions. You live in and you live with them either way. So for me, that's a big thing too.
If you don't mind talking about it, I'd love to know, like, who, some guys you're working with right now. If you can just name a couple that you know, or that, that we're, you know, that we see and kind of have an idea of what you're doing, if you don't mind.
Sure, sure. There's some I can't talk about, but I will mention a couple guys, and I'll mention one guy for sure that's in your neck of the woods, Matt Caesar of the Chicago Cubs. Matty and I have been working for about 4 years now, and you know, he's right now he's kind of a utility guy for Joe Maddon and the Cubs, but he gets some spot starts here and there. But he's going to be watch that guy for people that are not Cubs fans. Which, by the way, where do all these Cubs fans come from? All over the country.
Like, Cub fan likes the W, and they like to come out of the woodwork when it, you know. Obviously, I'm a Cardinals fan, kind of like Justin, you know, and you know, we've had a night, you know, we've had a great history and a great run here through my young adulthood, and it's been a great run, and now all of a sudden, Cub fans walking tall, right? So yeah, they're out here for sure.
But it's fun for him playing in that time period. He came up in 2014, but you know, Matt's a guy that I currently work for. There's a couple guys that are retired now. Pedro Feliz played for the Giants and the Phillies. He won a World Series with the Phillies in 2008. He's retired now, and he's enjoying his family life and guys like that. And so for me, again, they're all human beings and they all have struggles. And a lot of my job too is I'm not really a hitting coach so as much as I'm a mentor and a life coach.
Sure.
And so what you hear those guys say in the paper, they're not saying the same thing to me.
Sure.
They have to say it in the paper and they believe some of it, but again, behind closed doors and how to get those guys from literally one day to another. And people might say, well, these guys are making millions of dollars. What's the big deal? As I told the young people before, it's as you get up higher and higher, the game gets harder and harder and the pressures become more and more. So I turn into a life coach. I talk with wives. I talk with girlfriends. I talk with moms and dads. Like, this is a all-encompassing thing to what I do. And again, it plays the same at the youth level. It takes a village, right? We talked about at the beginning. It takes a village to get somebody from point A to point B, and it's not always going to be that straight line. So, you know, the guys that I'm very, very fortunate and to be able to help these guys, they're the ones doing all the work. I'm just trying to keep the ship, basically just tell them to stay in their lane. I try to get them not to swerve too much, but just stay in your lane. And again, I'm more of a life coach than anything.
Is there a player that you watch right now and just think, man, he's making this look real easy?
Boy, that's any given week too, right? I mean,
yeah, maybe just one guy that you're just like, golly, I mean, he has got it.
I'll give you. I'm big on teachable moments, so let me answer your question, but also
sure.
If I may, put
Absolutely.
A teachable moment into
sure,
this, because
sure.
It kind of goes along with what we're talking about failure.
Sure.
So early in the season, early in the 2016 season, for people that will remember this or go look it up, Bryce Harper was on fire.
Right.
And everybody's like, wow, he made that look easy. Pinch hit home runs in the whatever teeth
sure.
inning that they were in.
Yeah.
Hitting 400, hitting sliders, hitting fastballs, hitting changeups. And then where did Bryce Harper go for a month and a half?
Yeah. I mean, the average
right?
is down. The power is still okay, but the average is down. Yeah.
Yeah. So my point being is, and I meant that when I said it, like, it depends on the week. So they have Player of the Week awards for a reason.
Right.
And they have Player of the Month awards for a reason.
Yeah.
So what I tell my guys, and again, this works from Little League all the way up, is especially at the pro level too. Major league hitters, if you're good, if you're really good, I'm talking you hit 300 and you're really consistent and you're those Tony Gwynn type of guys, right? You're going to be on two hot streaks all year. Three if you're unbelievable. If you're going to be hitting 380, you've got three hot streaks in you. If you're going to hit 300, you got two. That's it. So what do you do? That they last 8 to 10 days.
Wow. Yeah.
So out of 700 at bats that you get, if you play every day in the big leagues, you get 700 at bats. Out of those 700, so for me, you're going to say you only have out of the 700, you have 100 that are hot. What do you do with the rest of the 600?
You got to grind.
Right. So for me, that's why I went, it's a teachable moment for me, that question that you have for me, because depends on the week. Yeah, I could see Bryce Harper one week. I could see Mike Trout. I could see, Byron Buxton, on one of his ups and downs. I could watch Josh Bell of the Pirates for one at bat. He hits a grand slam, one for one, and gets sent back down. Right. So for me, it's how you handle the in-between of your hot streak. So anybody, any hitter and any level and around the world can relate to that. But a lot of guys do not know how to handle the in-betweens. It's real easy to be full yourself, post on Instagram your home run or whatever the kids want to do now. But where are you in between? And what are you doing to keep yourself, your head above water, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm it was that time in my life, but I'm a huge Albert Pujols fan. And obviously he did amazing things. But that's what I tell people. I'm like, I want, if you were in St. Louis for those 11 years, it seemed like, to your point, to the opposite of that, it seemed like he did it all year long, just was consistent and put up these amazing numbers for 11 years. And it's like, I tell people all the time, he may be the best hitter you ever saw because that, for that very reason. And that's kind of why I always say it. Now, obviously he's older now and he doesn't move like he used to. The average is down. The power is still okay in the production, but it just seemed like for me for 11 years, this guy was as consistent. And I think the numbers would show it. I don't break it down the way you do. Like if you went back and looked, I'm sure to your point, there were streaks in there, but it just seemed like, and that's kind of why I asked you the question. When I was watching that for him, my kids were young and I was trying to soak up and learn as much as I could, but he just defined consistent to me. I mean, it was just another level. That's kind of why I asked you the question.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a great point too, because how many young people out there and how many young players, and I deal with them too, even in the minor leagues too, coming up, is their goal is to have that. Like, so say, I'll give you this example. I asked them to hit 10 line drives off the tee to the back of the cage, and maybe they hit five and they're fine with that. They say, oh, that's pretty consistent. No. Consistent is 10 out of 10. If you watched Albert Pujols hit a ball off the tee to the back of the, and I've seen it too, back of the cage is 10 out of 10 times. You ask David Eckstein to do that, 10 out of 10 times, he's going to do it. Ask anybody, Jimmy Edmonds, all those guys, 10 out of 10 times. The difference for me between a young player and a big league guy, and especially an established one, is just the big league guy has been doing it longer. And I think like anything in life too, the longer that you do something, the more consistent you're going to be. So if you're, like I say, if the first podcast you guys did, I'm sure is not as good as the podcast now I'm on. Right. And I can relate to that. We have our own podcast and I look back on the first podcast and I cringe. I'm like, ooh.
I cringe a lot.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Sure. So the more and more you do it, more and more you get comfortable. But I don't think young people value the consistency as much as they're just shooting for that one time to say that they did it. So what you did, anybody can do it one time, right? But how many people can do it consistently, to your point? So I agree with you 100% on that consistency factor.
Well, it's really good stuff. What's next for you? Like, what do you got coming up?
Wow. So it's during the season right now, so I'm kind of on call. So I've got, I'm at the beck and call of the guys, and I 80% of the guys I work with, I usually talk to 80% of those guys daily. And again, it all depends where they're going, what they're doing. But for me, it's if I have to go somewhere and I'm on a plane or in a car or on a train and I head out. And again, it's more of a life coach. It's not something that mechanically is wrong all the time. It's more of a, they just like the company. So doing that, I got something I'm really, really excited for that I'm a part of. I'm part of a foundation, the Cannonball Foundation. We have a coaching fellowship coming up in August and we do it once a year. And it's this year it's held in Boston and August 11th and 12th here of 2016, we're doing it. And we bring in high school coaches from all over the country. And we basically talk about why are you coaching and how can you get better as a person and a leader to be able to impact the lives of your students and your players. So exactly all the stuff that we're talking about today on the show. And so that's a big thing that I'm looking for too in a couple of weeks, because that foundation's near and dear to my heart.
No, that's great. And like I said, I think, it's guys like yourself and all these other guys that I'm fortunate enough to have on here. I mean, when you guys take the time to share this information for people. I certainly hope they take advantage of it. Learn a little bit. You know, we're not going to reinvent the wheel here. We're all not going to get magically smarter overnight, but there's a lot of great information out here for people, and they can check it out. Your website, kwbaseball.com. You have some great stuff on Twitter. At kwbaseball is your Twitter handle. Make sure you're checking out Kevin on Facebook, facebook.com/kwbaseball. And, of course, on Instagram at kwbaseball as well. So, I hope everybody takes the time to go ahead and subscribe up to some of that stuff of yours. And, hey, here's your opportunity, guys. Go to youthbaseballtalk.com. Click that Amazon banner, get on there and check out his book, The Good Batting Book. Evidently, it's I'm looking right here, number one Amazon bestseller, a labor of love, I'm sure, for you. And I wish you nothing but continued success and look forward to some of the great things you're doing.
Yeah, thank you so much. And thanks again for having me on. It was a true honor to be on your show. And again, if I just helped one person maybe think a little differently in terms of what they're trying to do in life and on the field too, it's what a true honor to be able to reach somebody else because of you and your podcast. So thank you so much.
No, I'm happy to help. Great stuff as always. That's Kevin Wilson from Kevin Wilson Baseball. Just like I said, had the pleasure to meet him in Nashville through my good friend Justin Stone. And like I said, when somebody that I think that much of tells me, this guy is a really good hitting guy, really good with people, does it for the right reasons, and then I have the opportunity to have him on, I'd be an absolute idiot not to bring him on and share that knowledge with you guys. So I was real happy Kevin could be on with us today. Make sure you check him out. Like I said, I apologize. I typically will get the website out earlier so you guys, I know some people like to follow along. Make sure you check it out, kwbaseball.com. He's got some, like I said, you won't have to go too far on there. You'll find out a little bit. He also does some clinics and stuff. So for some of you guys out there that might be part of bigger organizations or bring guys in or some people like to travel around and meet guys and make appointments and see things and take their kids and do different things. It's real simple. Looks like you can contact Kevin real easy on there. He's got his info@kwbaseball.com. What is his email address? And of course, probably always looking for an excuse to go to Philadelphia and have a cheesesteak, right? So, I really do appreciate Kevin being on here today. We're going to take a short break. At the other side, we'll come back with stuff from our instructors, as usual, our good friend Rick Strickland, Justin Stone. And, of course, we're going to hear from the man himself, Domingo Ayala, and Hysteria Baseball. We'll see you guys on the other side of the break.
Hi, this is Jim Cromer, host of Youth Baseball Talk. When I'm not doing my show, I'm very busy coaching my son's baseball team. We head south every year to enjoy their awesome facilities with grass infields that their region provides. Now we can stay home and enjoy that same experience thanks to the new Gateway Dream Fields located in historic St. Charles, Missouri. Gateway Dream Fields were built to provide the St. Louis area and Midwest region with an opportunity to play on some of the finest fields in the country. You will find Bermuda grass infields, age-appropriate field sizes and outfield walls, along with a spectacular two-tier fan observation area on the main fields. To learn more about this awesome facility and the great tournaments that they provide, simply go to gatewaydreamfields.com. That's gatewaydreamfields.com or call 314-409-0530. If you're looking for that old-fashioned baseball feel, then look no further than Gateway Dream Fields. They were built just for you.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process, such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for sticking with us through the break. As we come back here on the other side, we're going to hear from our panel of experts, as I like to call them. And if you're looking for an expert, you don't have to look any further than this this fine gentleman as he gives us his theory of baseball. It's time to hear from Domingo Ayala, and his theory of baseball is brought to you each and every week by the group at The Pitch Hitter. Make sure to go to thepitchhitter.com. That's with one H, thepitchhitter.com, to check out their great device for helping your little big leaguer learn how to throw strikes at a more proficient rate. It's a great device. I think you'll find it to be most helpful. I'm looking forward to having our first group on that I know had reached out to me and told me they were getting one and wanted to use it for a little bit with their group before they came on. So make sure you check out thepitchhitter.com, and we appreciate them bringing you each and every week Domingo Ayala and Asteria Baseball. Let's take it away, Domingo.
Hi, Jim, how you doing? Thanks for having me on today, and thank you to The Pitch Hitter. If you're looking to throw more strike, check out The Pitch Hitter. I want to talk today about youth hitting stat. I don't know what you think about these, but these are about as useful as a sacrifice bunt when you're down by 8 runs. First of all, when you have your dad keeping score, everything's a hit anyways. That's why your kid's batting 675, not because he's good. You can't give a two-base error a double. Or just because you think little Johnny hit the ball hard, no mean a ground ball through the shortstop leg is a base hit. Now, I don't know why people make such a big deal about stats when the kid is 12 years or younger. You know what Bryce Harper hit when he's 11? He hit 190. Now look at him. Okay, actually, I don't know what Bryce Harper hit when he's 11. But my point is, you didn't either, okay? In fact, Bryce Harper probably not even know what he hit. Because nobody cared about 11-year-old stats. I know some people might not understand, but no college coach cares about what you do between the ages of 8 and 12. Ask any 20-year-old what he hit when he's 12. If he knows, it's probably because that's his last season he played. And just because you lead the league in home run when you're 9, don't mean you're good. That just means you're the first player to go through puberty. All I'm saying is, don't worry about youth hitting stats. Anyone who knows baseball doesn't care. Well, those are my thoughts for today, Jim. Thanks for having me, and thank you to The Pitch Hitter for helping me throw strikes all the time.
Thank you, Domingo. Love to hear that. I don't want to know your 10-year-old stats personally. If you find somebody that does, by all means, please share it with them. I know I don't want to hear it. Domingo doesn't want to hear it. And if you want to be big time, keep it to yourself. Thanks a lot, Domingo. Love the message. And again, thanks again to our friends over at The Pitch Hitter. That's thepitchhitter.com. You don't want to be semi-pro. All right, let's hear from my good friend Rick Strickland this week. He's going to touch on an interesting topic. We talk about how to swing the bat, but a lot of times we don't talk enough about pitch recognition. So it's time to hear from Rick Strickland with his swing rehab Sandlot recruitment tip of the week. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim, thanks for having me back on the show this week. I'm excited as always. The summer, last week of the summer season, before we shut it down and reformat our teams for the fall and for training purposes. This week, I really wanted to talk a little bit about it. I talk about hitting a lot of times on these shows, but this week I want to talk about hitting in specifically hitting. Now, I spend a lot of time on in our swing rehab program, reprogramming, using technology to kind of measure body movements and the speeds at which we swing and the angles at which we swing, and really trying to put the proper equipment, physical equipment, on the kids so that they can compete when they get to the batter's box. But swinging and hitting are related, but they're not necessarily the same. We've seen a lot of kids with great swings be able to hit, and we've also seen kids with great swings not be able to hit, and we've seen kids that have poor swings but have been able to hit. So what are the common things that actually bridge those two together in my mind? That's one of the key things that if you're going to be a great hitter, you must be able to do. You must be able to recognize pitches and to be able to make adjustments from that. And I think all great hitters have mastered the art of pitch recognition. A lot of us have seen kids who are younger, for the first time they're seeing breaking pitches and they swing at it like a fastball. Well, they do that because they have not or have had the experience of being able to recognize those types of pitches to be able to go from that. And I think at the upper levels and more advanced, that the players that we see, kids that or young men that have been able to successfully be able to compete against all speed pitches, that's the one thing they're able to do. So one of the things we're using some technologies through SynapTech, which are strobe glasses, to help with visual acuity and focus and being able to really focus in from the eyes to the brain to be able to identify breaking pitches and spin as quickly as we possibly can. We think that being able to recognize pitches will definitely accelerate a hitter's development. So one of the things as you go through that, you know, a lot of guys go take lessons and they just hit ball after ball after ball after ball, and that helps. But you can really narrow down and focus specifically on pitches and train yourself visually in batting practice sessions and training sessions as well. So if you've got any questions, you want to reach out and ask a little bit more about what we're doing on the visual side, you can do that, or you can soon join our Facebook club, and we can share information and drills and tips that we're doing with our hitters with that, Jim. So, as usual, thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to speaking to you soon. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us on sandlotelite.com or call us in our office at 314-939-1044. Thanks again, Jim. Talk to you soon.
Great stuff as always, Rick. Really appreciate it. All right, let's head on up to Chicago and hear from that group up there with their majestic Coach's Corner, EliteBaseball.tv, tip of the week. Take it away, guys.
Thanks, Jim, and this is Justin Stone from EliteBaseball.tv coming to you again from the majestic Coach's Corner. End of the season. Everybody's trying to get ready for their plans for next season. We're going to talk about some tips today on how to choose a travel program. The number one thing you have to keep in mind is the goal of the program and what your personal goals are for your son or daughter. Is it development or is it exposure? And exposure means a lot of different things at the various age levels. Of course, 8 and 9 year olds aren't playing in front of college scouts, but you can expose them to higher level talent. So we want to challenge them with as much competition as we can, but at the same time, keeping your player development goals in mind. When we have players from the 8 to 12 year old age group, to me, the most important factor is their learning in the game. We want a baseball camp setting where there's teaching and learning going on in that type of environment as much as possible. So who is it that's in charge of your player development? That's a very important question to ask. Oftentimes it comes with a stigma that a parent coach can't give you that necessary training involved. And I think that's really far from the truth. I know from our own experience in our own travel program, some of our best coaches have been parent coaches. I look for a baseball guy first. Whether he's a parent or not, it doesn't really make any difference to me. So what you have to ask is this baseball person available and good enough to be in charge of your son or daughter's personal development? Beyond that, as we get older, exposure becomes a very important issue for most people. And we're talking about exposure to higher level competition, and eventually at the high school age, exposure to college and professional scouts. Are these programs geared towards your personal goal if that's what you have in mind? So if it is a higher level program that is putting you in front of the best competition, now you have to ask yourself, is your son or daughter gonna be in the right environment to develop their skills at your desired position? So sometimes a player can choose the best team that is out there. You end up being the 10th, 11th, or 12th player on that team, and you end up playing a position that you don't feel like you're gonna play one day down the road. You end up being a role player, a fill-in player. And oftentimes that comes with a lot of people that are disgruntled at the end of the year. Figure out where you stand on your team, where you feel like you fit in amongst that tryout. You're gonna be happier being the top or middle level player of that team, spending more time at your desired position for your future growth or what you think you want to play one day or are gonna play one day, versus being a role player that's gonna fill in and end up not being as happy. If you feel like you're a middle infielder or a third baseman and that's what you wanna play as you get into high school and beyond, it doesn't do you much good to spend all the time in the outfield because you're a good player for a very high-end team. So you have to put that question in mind as well. Beyond that, you need to find the time commitment. I think a lot of people, especially at the young age groups, feel like they have to keep up with the Joneses. Meaning a travel parent feels like, well, the guy down the street's playing travel ball, that must mean he's getting better baseball development. We should probably do that too. And you end up not going in with what the travel commitment or the practice commitments are. It's never a good situation between a travel program coach and the player and the family if you can't dedicate the time allocated towards that team during the season. Yeah, players play other sports during the off season, and sometimes that may conflict with practices. But you can't get better at baseball when you're not at the baseball practice. And it may not set your son back in terms of playing time, but it is going to set them back in terms of their development. So when we get into the primary season and you find out that you're having to travel and spend the night and you weren't quite ready for that, you're not happy about it, dig into that first. Find out what your time commitment is going to be before you set yourself up for being frustrated and also frustrating the coach that is giving you a roster spot that they could have given to somebody else. And the bottom line is, find somewhere where you're going to be happy. Find the place that's going to help you succeed as a player and that you're going to be happy as a player and enjoy the game. We find that most baseball players end up falling off after that 12-year-old age group. We get to a bigger field, they find out baseball is a very difficult sport, and they just aren't enjoying it as much because as the speed of the game increases, it gets harder. Put yourself in a position where your son or daughter can have enjoyment in the game. The bottom line is we want to keep them playing baseball as long as we can and have a positive baseball experience. One, as a parent, you can continue to enjoy by sharing with your son or daughter as well. So the grass isn't always greener. Having the very top travel program with the fancy bags and uniforms doesn't necessarily mean it's a better program. Find the program that's right for you, for your development, your desired level of competition, your exposure one day, and your general happiness. This is Justin Stone from EliteBaseball.tv coming to you for the Majestic Coach's Corner. Until next week, we'll see you on the field.
Thanks a lot, as always. Love those guys up in Chicago. What a great product, EliteBaseball.tv, and special thanks to Majestic for bringing us that segment each and every week. But make sure you check out EliteBaseball.tv. Love the product. Great show this week. Love to hear from guys. You know, we all, I think, look kind of starry-eyed, gaze a little bit at the guys that have the opportunity to work with guys that are doing it in a professional manner. You know, Kevin Wilson, obviously, is a fantastic baseball guy. One of the best hitting instructors in the country and you know, by evidence of being trusted by the best guys doing it at the highest level and they're the best at what they do. So anytime we have an opportunity to hear from those guys, I love to bring them to you. It's amazing, though, how the message is always similar. You know, it's a game of failure. It's how you approach it. You know, it's how you handle it. It's what are you prepared to do? How hard are you prepared to work? You know, I love the guys that say, listen, he's got a great message, you know. Hitting is simple. It's just not that easy. And what that means to me is that, you know, simplify it up a little bit. I mean, we're swinging a bat. Try to figure out the best way it is to do so. Then the hard part takes over, right? So, you know, sometimes I think we put too much pressure on how we do it as opposed to, you know, how hard it is to actually have success at it. So great stuff as always. Look forward to bringing you next week's Monday morning edition of the Monday Morning Solution. I don't know what the topic will be as. I'm sure something will come up this weekend. I'm looking forward to joining my kids for my last weekend as their coach at the with the Tigers organization. I've had this group since they were seven, and you know, my son will be going to high school next year, so this will be my last tournament as their coach. It's kind of bittersweet. I've been thinking a lot about those kids and when they started when they were seven and had a lot of fun. So hopefully I'll see some great things this weekend, and we can talk about something positive going on in the world of youth baseball on Monday. And if I happen to see something that I think we need to talk about, we need to fix, we'll talk about that too. But as always, love hearing from you guys and look forward to seeing you next week. Until that time, I'll see you on the field. Take care.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter at podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.